studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. And another bye game quiz. Perfect score. Spoiler alert. Question one. Did West Virginia win by a lot to please the computers? Yes, they did. West Virginia scored 90 and won by 32. Question two. Did any Mountaineer get injured? Not that I was aware of. Correct. Question three. Did anyone play more than 30 minutes? Honor Huff played 30, and he played the most for WVU tonight. So that's correct. So three questions on the quiz. It's the same three questions every bye game. And once again, West Virginia, 100%. But wait. Did you flip the quiz sheet over? Turn that bad boy over. And if you look, there's a question at the top of the page. It is in smaller font than on the front. And there's one additional question. And the question, it's messed up that you would hide a quiz question on the back of the sheet without telling somebody. But I'm telling you, that's on every bye game quiz. And so if you thought West Virginia got 100% on every quiz, you're right, because this is a bonus question that's on the back. Here's the bonus question that's on the back of every bye game quiz. What do you learn about West Virginia in a game like this? It's an essay question. It's not a yes or no. It's a open-ended question. What's the answer to that question based on what you saw tonight against the Little Rock Trojans? I mean, you watch the game. Honor and Trayson go a combined 13 of 22 from three. How many of those threes were the proper amount of wide open? I mean, I think Little Rock did a good job of not leaving guys too wide open, because if you're too wide open, you're prone to missing. They were skilled at having West Virginia be the right amount of wide open. And Honor and Trayson shot the ball great tonight. But what does that mean if you did it against Little Rock? Jasper and Amir each had six assists. But what kind of defense was that? What kind of YMCA pickup game zone was Little Rock playing with respect to Little Rock? And poor Little Rock, it seems like they're having the season from you know where that WVU had two seasons ago. And their coach is permanent. They don't have the interim coach. Lorient had six offensive rebounds. But that zone, it was not a great zone. Little Rock's playing with eight guys. And they're missing multiple starters. So when West Virginia does good against a team who's having the season from you know what do you do with that information? It's hard to gather a ton. I want to give, as bad as Eagle Staff's night was Saturday, I want to give him credit for having a good offensive game and being aggressive and making shots. It was against that. So what, like, I don't want to downplay that. It's the best case scenario for Eagle Staff as far as rebounding from a game where you didn't have a field goal attempt. That's the best case. He doesn't get to control who they play next. And who they played next is, it's, they're having a dumpster fire season. I mean, what else did we learn from this game? The rotation looked a little bit different. No changes to the starting lineup. Ugasuk only played 3 minutes in the first half and sat a bunch before finishing the game in the garbage time section with Forsythe and the walk-on. Could Ugasuk be the first rotation casualty? Possibly. We've seen his minutes diminish with the increase in minutes from Chance Moore, who did Jance Moore things tonight. What else did we learn? Did Amir Jenkins lose a shoulder brace? That seems like a good sign for his health for the rest of the season. Did not serve him well at the free throw line. Struggled at the free throw line. And he had like a 5-pound brace on his shoulder. So I'm sure it's different shooting the ball without that than with that. So he'll get that figured out. I think that's a good sign for his health for the season. He played, I believe, just 1 minute less than Jasper Floyd. But so that's a lot of answer to the bonus question on the back of the quiz. But if I shortened it, I would say to the question, what did we learn tonight? My answer in 4 words, I didn't learn much. And how can you if you're not a terrible team against what we saw tonight? And so now West Virginia has 2 games left in the non-conference schedule. And at this time of recording, West Virginia's non-conference schedule is currently, according to Ken Pomeroy's computer, the 356th toughest in Division I. If you start the number with 300 and then you say toughest, it feels wrong. There's only 9 Division I teams that have had an easier schedule in the non-conference so far. West Virginia is playing one of them on Saturday. So that's an interesting wrinkle. But it's Cupcake City, baby. Shout out to Dick Vitale. When West Virginia has played a team currently in the KenPom top 100, they've lost. They're 0-3. When West Virginia has played a team outside the KenPom top 100, they're undefeated. They're 8-0, and 6 of those 8 wins are against teams in the 300s, which is lowest of the low in Division I basketball. The 2 exceptions were the Camels of Campbell and Pittsburgh, who I might have to, I'll just go ahead and say, I apologize for getting it wrong saying that Pittsburgh is a good team. They can be good in the future, but they might not be good this season. And that win, that dominant win in a rivalry game, feels great. It feels less great when you see Pitt lose to Quinnipiac, and who'd they lose to lately? Hofstra. They're not great. It's not great. And they're young, but not great. So Cupcake City, it's the softest non-conference schedule for WVU. And I think it'll finish this way since Ken Pomeroy's computer's been flipped on. And it's the softest non-conference schedule since the last 2 Press Virginia seasons. And one of those had Mississippi Valley State, the 2016-17 non-conference schedule, and the 2017-2018 non-conference schedule had Coppin State. And the 2025-2026 Mountaineers said, you know what? We'll play both of those teams in one season. Thus, and I'm sorry, Mississippi Valley State and Coppin State, things haven't changed much in 8 seasons. But if you're on the schedule, that definitely lowers the number for your non-conference schedule strength. And so then I look back, and based on what's happened so far this year, there's 20 games left. 18 of them are against teams in the KenPom top 100 right now. And as I mentioned, West Virginia winless against the top 100. So does that mean West Virginia is going to finish the season 10-21?
The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. I'm looking at my computer at Uncommon Goods. You type in West Virginia University. They got cool stuff, WVU themed. I've got the can-shaped glasses. They're my favorite glasses to drink out of. They've got a College Town wall sculpture, a stadium lights end table, super cool stuff, unique, one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
I wouldn't bet that. That feels like a long shot. West Virginia has not got blown out yet against good teams. That's going to happen at least once. But 10-21 feels strong. However, the last time WVU finished a non-conference schedule without a KenPom top 100 win, and you know the answer, it was the season from you know where 2 seasons ago. So let's scratch that, because there was no confusion on that season. On the bye game quiz, West Virginia sometimes finished that quiz 0-3, and there's no way they even looked at the back of the sheet to see the bonus question, because we learned a ton. And if they did, I guess you get bonus points for answering the question on the back, but those were bad answers. There were games where they not only didn't win by a lot, but they lost. They had injuries, and they had to play guys a ton of minutes because of the injuries. 0-3 in the bye game quiz multiple times in 2023-2024. So scratch that. So go past the season from you know where, and when's the last time WVU finished non-conference play without a KenPom top 100 win? You got to go back to the 2018-2019 season, the season after the last Press Virginia team. And that team finished 15-21, and Issa and Wes got kicked off the team. And West Virginia gave up over 100 points to Coastal Carolina in the SAD tournament. It was a bad season. So that's a bad omen, bad example that history tells us. There's 2 other seasons that West Virginia didn't register a KenPom top 100 win in the non-conference. And they happened back-to-back. It was the 2 seasons in between the season that KJ and Truck graduated and when Javon and Daxter got to the program and Press Virginia started. So in the 2012-2013 season and the 2013-2014 season, West Virginia did not have a top 100 win. 2012-2013, that was Bob Huggins' first losing season at WVU. Again, not great. Not great historical reference there. And then 2013-2014, that was a 17-16 season and ended with a loss in a tiny Georgetown gym in the NIT. and then guys transferred, and then better days were ahead. But three seasons where West Virginia didn't get a top 100 non-conference win, Issa and Wes got kicked off the team, losing season, another losing season, and a barely winning record that ended in a sad gym in Washington, D.C. So based on history, WVU basketball history wants me to put all of my eggs in the you gotta beat Ohio State Saturday to have a chance at a good season. History says that. Do I want to do that? It feels unfair to have a must-win game before Christmas. That feels like a lot, and that feels extra, and there's plenty of season left. But man, history says you gotta leave Cleveland with the win. That's what history says. I'm not saying that. I'm struggling with that because I do think history, regardless of there's plenty of variables, different coaches, different players, different circumstances. It's all different. All I got is history. And history is not looking favorable on not getting a win against Ohio State. But I'm not doing that. History's doing that.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket.
So let's get to it. The next game for WVU, Saturday, 8 p.m., ESPNU, Cleveland, Ohio. West Virginia goes to Cleveland to play the Ohio State Buckeyes. And of course, the last time West Virginia went to Cleveland to play the Buckeyes, Deuce McBride did the shoulder shrug, and fun was had by all. Different players, different coach, different season. And Ohio State is 7-2 coming into this one. One of their losses was at Pittsburgh on a logo 3 buzzer beater at the end of the game. And of course, West Virginia is catching Ohio State coming off of a loss, a conference loss at home to Illinois. Their point guard, Thornton, he went off for 34 tonight. And that wasn't his season high. So Thornton's good at basketball. He went for 38 earlier in the season. The stats say Ohio State's offense is really good. They shoot the three well, and they shoot a ton of threes. When they shoot two-pointers, they're the third-best team in Division I. They're good at getting to the foul line, and they shoot free throws really well. So they are really good at offense. They've scored more than 110 points in a game twice this season. Defensively, they hold opponents to a low three-point percentage, and they are good at not fouling. Not really a team that turns you over. So based on that information, I don't like the spot Ohio State coming off a loss. This is a situation where Ohio State, after they play West Virginia a week later, they play North Carolina. Feels too far ahead for a look-ahead game. I do like that their point guard had a great game. Typically, in college, you don't have two great games in a row, but that also applies to Honor Huff, who made 8 threes for the second time in a game this season. So my questions are, how will Honor Huff shoot the ball, especially the three-pointer, after an 8-for-11 night? Can West Virginia limit turnovers? And can the defense, this is not the first time West Virginia's played a good offensive team. I would argue the three games they've lost, all those teams are good at offense. Can the defense finally have a good night against a good offensive team? You can't make me answer if this is a must win. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to say, and I don't have to say it. I'm not obligated to say this is a must win. History is demanding West Virginia win on Saturday versus Cleveland. But I'm not history. History is not a human being. History is history. Things that happen. And you can, history tracks until you do something that doesn't align with history. And that's totally possible. Ugh. But man, the history is not good. I don't have to say it. And you can sue me, and that would be insane for you to do that. Shout out to ESPN Plus. I've got to watch all of the gameplay tonight. The last time ESPN Plus had a WVU men's basketball game, I can't say the same. So shout out to the fine folks at ESPN Plus for allowing me to watch all of the gameplay tonight. Bravo. You know what? Thank you, ESPN Plus. What? You deserve that. Shout out to you. I'm changing the subject on if this is a must win or not. What I'll tell you is that we'll find out, not if it's a must win. Can West Virginia beat a top 100 Ken Pom team before they get into conference play? We'll find out. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcast, Amazon Podcast, Pocket Cast Podcast, YouTube. Till next time, I'm Josh Witt, WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have 8 wins and they have 3 losses.